Our Jewish friends and neighbors have an expression, a delightful expression, they use quite often from out of the Hebrew language. Lachaim, they say. Lachaim. It means to life. It's a toast to the miracle of being alive, to the gift of life and all that it means. If we love God and treasure God's gifts, life is a gift to be affirmed and celebrated. This is why we are drawn with a certain empathy into the story we read in this morning's gospel. We go to the small city of Nain, and we come upon a funeral procession that is making its way through the city gates. A young man has died. His heart has stopped beating. There is no life left in him. He is dead. And now his family, friends, and loved ones are taking his body to its burial place. Leading the procession is his mother. She has fallen into a death of an altogether different kind. We might call it despair. Her only son has died, and she is grieving terribly. It's sad enough when children bury their parents. Sadder still when the natural order of things gets all mixed up and parents must bury their children. Adding to her grief is the fact that this was her only son. Her only son has died. In that long ago and far away culture, a woman mattered little without a man in her life, a father, a husband, a son, with no entitlement to property or inheritance, with no life insurance of any kind. With the death of her only son, she has lost what there was for Social Security. What would she do? Where would she go? How would she live? All of this must be going through her mind now. And she feels as though the bottom has dropped out from under her and that she too has died. Death has many faces. It comes into our lives in many different ways. We may not label it as death, but it has that same kind of a chilling and numbing effect. Relationships end, dreams are broken, finances go sour. You know the litany. In Morris West's novel, The Shoes of the Fisherman, there is that compelling scene where the Pope goes incognito into a poor section of the city of Rome. He visits a home where a man is very near death and meets the woman who has been caring for him. The man dies. And the woman says, "We might as well go now. We won't be needed here anymore." And then she says, "They can cope with death. It's living that defeats them." Sometimes that's the way it is. I remember the middle-aged man who sat in my office late one afternoon. He was an active member of the congregation I was serving. And I was absolutely startled as he rattled off a long list of the things that were wreaking havoc in his life. And then he looked at me and he said, "Pastor, there is no life left in me." It can happen. Sometimes because our choices have not been good. Sometimes because life can be difficult all by itself. And then come those sleepless nights when we toss back and forth, one way and then the other, wondering if it matters to anyone if we are in or out of this world. And we start to think of our lives as we finally drift off to sleep, not in colors of bright blue, but of dull gray. Well, now we are ready for the good news. And a great space has opened up. A space in which all of us become participants in the miracle of God's grace. Let's return to the story that is our text and work our way through it by asking, if you were to choose the most significant moment in this story, what would you choose? I suppose in one way we could say that it was when Jesus went up and reached out and touched the funeral bier and that young man's dead body. That was a very daring thing to do. Way back then, in that long ago and faraway culture, it was a strict law of Jewish ritual purity not to touch a dead body, lest a person become defiled and unclean. But Jesus is not afraid of death. And he will reach out and touch it wherever and in whatever form he finds it. This is a significant moment in the story, but I don't think it's the most significant. And then certainly there is that time when Jesus says to the young man, "Rise, get up." And just as it says right here, the dead man sat up and began to speak. Now we know in no uncertain terms that Jesus has power over death and every other kind of evil that makes its way into our lives. This is a significant moment in the story, but I still don't think it's the most significant. No, I think the most significant moment in this story is one which the gospel writer Luke describes with five very simple but powerful words. When the Lord saw her. When the Lord saw her. Get the impact here. When the Lord saw this grieving widow woman, he had compassion for her. Here she was, on her way to the cemetery to bury her only son, feeling as though the bottom had fallen right out from under her, feeling as though there was no life left in her. And Jesus, the same God who had created the sun and the moon and the stars, saw her and had compassion for her. Do you believe this for yourself? Way back in the second century, and that's a very long time ago, way back in the second century, the old wise church father Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." And we've been quoting his words ever since, because we know them to be the gospel truth for your life and mine. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. God does not will sadness or hurt or death for any of us. It is God's will that we have life and have it abundantly. So much so that whenever we are hurting, whenever we are in too much sorrow, too much loneliness, too much fear, God reaches out to touch us, sometimes to correct, sometimes to forgive, sometimes to comfort, sometimes to bless, but always to bring us to the fullness of life with God in Jesus Christ. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. We believe that God came among us in Jesus to be with us in our joys and our sorrows. We believe that he is still among us in the Holy Spirit and touching our broken lives in the Word and the Eucharist. We believe that he first touched us in the water and the Word of baptism, when we died with Christ in the only death that matters, and that day after day, we are brought to new life with him. John Westerhoff is an Episcopal priest who writes books. And in one of his books, he tells about a startling baptismal service he once witnessed in a small church in a Latin American village. He watched as a solemn procession made its way down the center aisle. The child's father was carrying a small wooden coffin that he had made. The mother carried a bucket of water from the family well. And the priest carried the sleeping infant wrapped in a native blanket. When they reached the front of the church, the father placed the coffin on the altar. The mother poured the water into the coffin, and the priest anointed the baby's soft skin with, get this, embalming oil. And then at the proper moment in the baptismal rite, the priest lowered the baby into the coffin and he immersed him in the water and said, I kill you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the whole congregation shouted, Amen. And then the priest lifted the squealing infant up high and said, And now I resurrect you to live and love and serve the Lord. This is the greater space into which God has brought us, where we know that we have already died with Christ in the only death that matters, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God has looked favorably on his people, said the people of Nain, as Jesus brought the widow woman's son back to life and gave him back to his mother. God gives us life. God gives us birth. God has compassion for us when we are hurting. And God restores us to life with Christ Jesus. Lachaim to life. Amen.